This episode of Standard Orbit is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iPhone, iPad and iPod, Android, Kindle, Windows Phone, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hey everyone, I'm Rod Roddenberry, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Follow Standard Orbit, Mr. Chekhov, and take a seat.
I say.
It is the word of Landru.
Joy to you, friends. Welcome to Standard Orbit, Trek FM's dedicated show about the original Star Trek series. This is a show where we dive into the characters, concepts, cliches, and other things that don't start with C about the original series. My name is Drew, or Landru. I'm the TOS editor for the network, and with me today is my co-host Mike from Commentary Trek Stars.
Hello.
Hello, Mike. We are talking from the future, kind of, or at least technology from the future.
Yeah, I guess so. In terms of
The 60s future.
That is true. That is true. We're talking in a way which would blow the minds of science fiction writers in the 1960s.
So that was a forced segue by me into the topic, which was we're going to discuss three technologies, just focusing on three technologies that TOS presented that inspired the future that we live in today, or inspires the future that we're still pushing toward.
Yeah.
So the first one that we'll discuss is the obvious one that everybody brings up is the flip phones from the 90s. No, smartphones.
Well, I mean, but the flip phones, that is where it kind of started, you know, and the fact that, you know, those are very similar to communicators. Now, I mean, I guess, see, to me, like, back before cell phones were prominent, I never really considered the cell phone technology to be inspired by Star Trek because, I mean, you already had walkie-talkies, right?
Right.
And I really just saw communicators as being, like, super-duper walkie-talkies, you know, that had, like, a really long distance.
I had walkie-talkies.
Yeah.
That looked like communicators.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They had a flip open thing, and Dad and I would talk to each other
across
the house. It was exciting.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think a lot of the reasons why people compare, you know, cell phones to communicators on Star Trek and talk about that as being an innovation inspired by Star Trek is really because they flip open.
Yes, I was really excited when. I mean, I kind of miss a flip phone. I think I have a case for my phone that does flip open, but it flips the other direction.
Uh-huh.
Like, it flips down instead of up.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
But it was really fun to just pop it off and flip it. And
yeah.
Start yelling at things.
I mean, for years and years and years, whenever it came time for me to buy a new cell phone, my number one criterion, because criteria would be multiple, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so my number one criterion was that it needed to be a flip phone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I would go into the store and be like, what's your best phone? And they'd be like, well, we have this thing here. No, what's your best flip phone? Come on. You know? All the way up to, like, the Alias 2 or something like that, I think was my last one. But it really upsets me that they don't have flip phones anymore.
They do. They just don't do anything.
Yeah, right. Like, where's the iPhone flip phone? And, you know, there are some companies which make cases that flip up. But most of them do flip open like a book, which
mm-hmm.
is so strange to me. It's like, how is there not a market from this? I actually won a case from a company that their specialty is making, like, hunting knives or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they make stainless steel iPhone cases that flip
open
like that. And it's like, this is amazing. You know, this is great. And the case that I won was kind of a crappy one, and I took it off my phone because I was kind of worried about it not protecting the phone all that tremendously well. But it's like, how this is not a thing. How is it that, you know, Star Trek as a licensor
Yes.
Licensor?
Star Trek would be the licensor.
Okay. How is it that they are not selling? I mean, you can buy a freaking captain's chair for your dog, okay? How is it that you can't buy an iPhone case that looks and functions like a communicator?
That's something we should write in.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on complain. Twitter as soon as we're done with this. I'm gonna tweet John Van Sitters and be like, "What's up, dude? Come on." I mean,
this
seriously,
is obvious.
Right?
It is.
I think we need to start a letter writing campaign. Star Trek fans are good at that. Let's start this. Standard Orbit, tweet John Van Sitters. I think that's the dude's name, and be like, "Hey, where's my iPhone flip phone case thing?"
Yeah, and also copy QMX online and ThinkGeek.
Right, exactly. I mean, ThinkGeek was carrying this case that had like the stainless steel one, and I'm 99.9% positive that the reason why they were doing that was because it mimicked the operation of the original series communicator.
It'd be great if the iPhone had like the iPads do with the magnetic closure kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Because it'd be really cool to like flip open the smart cover and you know, your iPad comes on. It'd be really cool if you had one that you could flip open your iPhone and the iPhone would come on.
Yeah. And they do have the app, which is fine, I guess. Have you seen this app?
Yeah.
Where it looks like a communicator thing, and you flip it open, and it makes the noise, and then it goes to the other screen. And
I think my dad has that app. My dad has a lot of novelty apps like that.
Yeah, and that's cool, but it's not the same. It's not the same.
No, it's not.
I tried so hard to find a flip case for my phone, and it just doesn't exist.
Maybe we'll have to have somebody make one.
Yes.
If you can make one, let us know.
Yeah.
So, TOS inspired the future beyond being able to flip open your communication device in that, the thing with the TOS communicators, like, you're absolutely right. They are more walkie-talkies than they are the smartphones that we have today. But I do feel that the idea for the flip phone and all that kind of thing did come from TOS. But it's more like our phones are more tricorders than anything else.
Yeah.
They tie into the ship's computer or the internet, and you know, they let you know the weather in a particular location, whether or not it's habitable.
And they are like multifunctional devices. You know, I mean, the point of a tricorder, I think, was to be like, here's one thing which will do everything. It'll scan stuff. You can look stuff up. You know, all that.
You can play back video.
Mm-hmm. You've got your little Bluetooth device, which you can use to scan and then, you know, read on the tricorder itself, you know, all that stuff. And that really is what phones do now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, even from a medical standpoint, I mean, you're wearing a Fitbit on your wrist right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, monitors stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the Google Watch things that like monitor your heart rate and all that good stuff.
That's true.
I even saw a Kickstarter for a case which is being developed now. It's an iPhone case, and you like hold it in like a weird way, kind of like a Game Boy or something like that. Mm-hmm. And by doing so, it's able to take all sorts of medical readings from yourself. Like it takes your blood pressure. It takes your heart rate, you know, stress levels, like all this stuff. And then
that's
it gives
weird.
You like a, I mean, it's crazy. And that's,
well, I mean, the Galaxy S5 has that built in, the heart rate monitor.
Yeah, the heart rate monitor. Yeah. And that's nuts.
For reasons. I mean, I don't understand why you would need one, why everyone would need one built into their phone. You'd think they could save themselves some money and put it on a case or something.
Yeah. Well, there's probably a lot of people who are like, what? A heart rate monitor on a phone? I need to buy that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, of course, if Apple does that, I'd be like, it's the greatest invention ever. Like if the Touch ID thing, you know, also did your heart rate and stuff while it was unlocking your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You're stressed out. You should calm down. Whoa. Don't tell me to live my life, Siri.
Well, even Siri. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
I love the fact that when Google was developing their version of Siri, I think it was Google, right? They codenamed it Majel.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Google codenamed theirs Majel, and Microsoft ended up actually calling theirs Cortana after Halo, which is also pretty cool.
Yeah. 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 Siri, not nearly as cool. It's too bad that this technology wasn't developed like maybe a decade earlier, and you could get Majel Barrett to be the voice of Siri.
Oh, God. I dream about that every day. Or just a good impersonator. You know, they've got all the impersonation. You know, TomTom, you can buy all the voices, and there's some pretty good impersonations on there. But, you know, I want somebody who can do the computer voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that this is not a thing that everybody's been trying to do upsets me.
Who did the voice of the Bajoran computer in Deep Space Nine? That person never gets any credit.
I'm not sure.
Maybe we could get her to come back and...
Yeah, well, there we go. We'll look into that.
Yeah.
So add-on heart rate monitors and so forth are all well and good, but there's actually XPRIZE, which is a company. They partnered with Qualcomm, who makes cell phones or components for cell phones. They have the Qualcomm Tricorder XPRIZE contest, which it's actually called Tricorder. And what they're doing, inspired by Star Trek, is they have a $10 million global competition to stimulate innovation and integration of precision diagnostic technologies, helping consumers make their own reliable health diagnoses anywhere, anytime. So they've got teams of people competing to create a handheld. It can't be more than 5 pounds, I read, which is really heavy for a handheld. But the idea is to have something that you can use at home or that untrained people can use out on the field to diagnose people with diseases and symptoms and things like that.
How heavy was the original series Tricorder?
In-universe or...?
Yeah, I mean, either way. Yeah.
I'm not sure. They never really held them with one hand,
mm-hmm.
and they had to have them on straps. Well, they might have been 3 pounds or so.
Yeah, so 5 pounds is pretty heavy.
I mean, that's heavier than most of our laptops.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a crazy idea, you know. I mean, it's. I mean, I guess since the prize money is like $10 million, that is rather ambitious, you know. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of amateurs, and this seems like the type of. I mean, it's saying that like, oh, this is something which can, you know, diagnose like all these things. It's like, that's kind of scary. It's like, well, don't you kind of need like a professional to do that? You know, I mean, I don't know. But I guess the fact that the prize money is $10 million suggests that whoever is doing this is going to be someone who is probably a professional in the medical industry to begin with.
Yeah, because they're going to have to front the money themselves to develop it.
It's not like they're going to be unveiling this thing at Vegas in August or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's years down the road, right? It's got to be.
Well, I mean, they started the competition in 2010 or so.
Oh, really? Oh,
so, I mean, it's been going for a while.
So why did it just come up now all of a sudden?
I'm sure it had something to do with licensing.
Oh, okay.
Like, right. I think that only recently they got to use like the Tricorder name.
Okay.
Like, it's one of those things, like, it's not a Tricorder, wink, wink.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
The idea is the device will be a tool capable of capturing key health metrics and diagnosing a set of 15 diseases. Metrics for health could include such elements as blood pressure, respiratory rate, and temperature. Ultimately, this tool will collect large volumes of data from ongoing measurements of health states through a combination of wireless sensors, imaging technologies, and portable, non-invasive laboratory replacements. And so, I mean, there's not really any restrictions. So, you know, some teams will be making it look like a Tricorder, maybe, and some people just be trying to make it work. It's an interesting idea. I like the idea. I like that apparently CBS is allowing them, used under license, it says at the bottom. CBS is now encouraging people to make technology based off of Star Trek, instead of just letting it inspire people, but encouraging it to inspire people. And that's a really neat idea for them.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like it would be good publicity for them. You know, I mean, for sure. There's no real downside to this. It's like, this would allow CBS to say, like, look, it actually is true, for real. This is a technology which was inspired by what they were doing on Star Trek back in the 60s. And that's pretty cool. I mean, the fact that it's not just like, hey, look at this thing, which is similar to that thing that they thought of back then. But, you know, this is someone saying, like, that thing that they had on that show was really, really cool. And we think that that should actually exist in reality. And here's a contest to try to make it exist. That's cool. Yeah. That's cool for sure.
Well, the last technology that we'll discuss today is what we're using right now. Ship visual communications.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't know. Was Star Trek the first people to come up with this idea?
Oh, I'm sure not. I'm pretty sure Flash Gordon had the same kind of technology, because it's certainly easier to show two people on screen at the same time talking to each other than it is to be like, I'm talking to this walkie-talkie, and so are you.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting idea. Like, the thing that always kind of surprised me was how downplayed it was, I guess, in terms of like when this technology would be available in the original series. The fact that with the Romulan War, you know, they were like, oh, we weren't capable of this technology yet. It's like, right. How? I mean, and I can totally see that being, you know, like one writer's take on it and everything, but it's just like, really? That seems a little unambitious
right.
for you guys, you know? Because they were really close even back then. I mean, they had television. Like, the show was being broadcast on television. I mean, people could see someone from another part of the world live in their living room. So in order for that to become, like, a two-way thing, seems like a pretty easy step.
Yeah, you know? You just add, like, a telephone to it. And
yeah.
And then you've got your ship-to-ship... I mean, and like I said before, when we were talking about Romulans, maybe it's something to do with, like, they couldn't establish visual connections because they were using different technologies.
Yeah.
But like, maybe the Romulan ships didn't have cameras built into their bridges, because who cares?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a good, you know, retcon explanation and everything like that. But I think the idea when they were writing that episode was, like, this technology didn't exist, you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird to me, because it seems like such an obvious choice. And yeah, we are doing it right now. I'm looking at you.
Yes.
It's weird.
Kind of weird.
Yes. you don't have any pointy ears, though, so I guess you're not Romulan. So.
Well, I mean, I've got these headphones on. You can't really tell.
That's true. That's true.
You could have ridges on your forehead, and I would never know, because you're always wearing a hat.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
I just assume you're in Chicago. I did meet you in Chicago. You may have beamed down from your alien planet.
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
That's what happened. Because there's no parking in the city.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to.
There's no real big park like Golden Gate Park?
There is, but I don't have cloaking technology.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cloaking technology. There's a lot of technology that we're still working on. Besides, like, the tricorder, people are still trying to build cloaking technology. You know, we've got things that are invisible to radar, and we're trying to do things that are invisible to the naked eye. And there's a lot of technology from TOS that we're still striving toward.
There's a lot of little things where it's like this stuff existed before I was aware of, you know, anything or before I existed, but maybe after the original series, where it's like, really? That's innovative? But, like, the idea of doors that open automatically, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, I guess that was... I mean, I've heard that was inspired by the original series. And that makes sense, you know? Even just, like, little things like that. It's
wow,
pretty crazy when you think about it. I mean, obviously, there's, like, the pads from later seasons. I mean, but cartridges, you know? Floppy disks. Mm-hmm. Very similar to cartridges from the original series. That one just kind of makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Some kind of mobile way to transfer things without... I mean, and look how far we've come from there already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I need to send you data, I don't, you know, put it on a disc and mail it to you. you know, I send it through the interwebs.
And I think that's like sort of like where the sort of like disconnect comes from. You know, I mean, Star Trek was predicting that we would be much further advanced in terms of space exploration at this point, I think, you know, because what, there's no space exploration going on right now anyway.
This is true.
And I think, you know, in the 60s, it's like, yeah, everyone's pushing for the moon and everything like that. And, you know, there's obviously been a shift in our society towards, like, telecommunication and information technology and that kind of thing. So that's, like, way more advanced than anything that the original series predicted. But other things like space travel are, we're a bit behind on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that, I think Stephen Hawking still says that he's got a, you know, still trying to figure out warp, how to warp space and time and stuff to go faster than light. And
yeah, well, you should get on that.
You should.
Yeah.
Because it'd be really cool to just go to Mars in a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to these people volunteering for a, you know, 8-year-long one-way trip or however long.
Yeah. Transporting technology would be nice.
Yeah. That I hope people are working on. I want to see that. I want to see that in the next 10 years.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because, I mean, we'd stop complaining about where are flying cars if, you know, we didn't need cars.
Yeah.
Your morning commute is, you know, 15 seconds.
People could literally live wherever they wanted to and work wherever they wanted to on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could record all of Trek FM shows live together.
Yeah, in the studio. That'd be cool.
That would be really neat. But alas, we're not there yet.
Maybe they should offer $10 million for that instead of this tricorder thing.
Yeah, yeah. Scrambling people's atoms, I'm sure, are a lot more. Well, the technology would be a lot more expensive than that. Maybe perhaps if we build solar roadways first.
Yeah. No, that'd be good.
Because that's a thing now. Well, it was fun talking about Treknology today, but that's just one of the Trek topics we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a quick look at what you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
I mean, like it's been talked about, you know, by Shatner that he's like, oh, I wanted to have the Enterprise find God or something like that. Well, how does that work?
You know, well, right.
You know, and it's like, well, it doesn't work the way you're doing it in this movie.
Earl Grey.
What if it was like a geeky tween boy? Data, where are you? They're just like, shut that off.
Mr. Data, I've got a problem.
The Ready Room.
When they finally do get rid of Decker, it's on Kirk's personal authority as captain of the Enterprise. And like, it seems to me if you're, say, a captain in the U.S. Navy and an admiral takes command of your ship, you can't just like get rid of him because of your personal authority as captain of the ship.
The Orb.
And again, it's something, as you know, as we said before, the system is not set up to allow him to express that idea in any other way, but by the spectacle of this trial, which would presumably be impossible to hide, it is a way for him to express this alternate viewpoint that maybe the morality of his society is under threat.
To the journey! We are here to talk to you about a very heavy-handed topic. This is kind of a dark area for us. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about death in Voyager! Commentary, Trek Stars.
When they thaw out the pod people, and they say, why, what year is it? And Data says, why, it's the Earth year 2364. I fell off my chair 47 times. He's like, they just put the, oh, my, okay.
Warp 5.
Archer doesn't close himself off to any possibility. He takes the evidence and comes to the best choice that he can. And that's not always easy for anyone. But that's the kind of person that Degra is, too.
Melodic Treks.
In fact, it had two versions of the theme, one which ran from seasons 1 to 3, and one which ran from season 4 onwards. Now, some people prefer the first music with the poignancy of the lone trumpet, others prefer the second incarnation.
Continuing Mission.
If we were to sort of able to rewrite the canon, the uniforms we've got, they were the uniforms in the middle of Enterprise and TOS, but because they were designed during a time when peace wasn't as prosperous as it is in the original series, the uniforms did have a bit more of a militaristic look to them.
Literary Treks.
You know what I love about comics, though, sometimes, is what happened here in this panel with Beverly and Troy. Clearly, Troy's stunt double wandered into the scene.
I was going to say, is that Troy?
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out these shows and get in on the daily Trek Talk. You'll find them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, the Windows Podcast Directory for Xbox and Zune, or you can stream from the website. Just visit Trek.fm/PD for Podcast Directory to get all the links. If you'd like to contact us, share your thoughts on today's show, on technology and where it's going, just go to Trek.fm/contact. There's a form there. Choose to send a show and choose Standard Orbit. That'll come to both of us by email. You can also use the tab on the right-hand side of any page to send us a voicemail from your webcam's microphone, and you can talk to us and our other listeners in our forums at trek.fm/forums. In social media, you'll find us on Facebook at facebook.com/trekfm and on Twitter under username trekfm. Mike, where can people find you out of orbit?
You can find me right here on Trek FM doing commentary Trek Stars, and you can also find me on commentarytrekstars.com. where I do commentary Track Stars off topic. And you can find me on Twitter at Mumbles3K.
And you can find me on Twitter at 005, DOUBLEOFIVE. Before we go, we'd like to ask everyone to please support our sponsor who helps us bring Standard Orbit to you each week. And the sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible's a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to read but never thought you'd have time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers and even some of the most famous Star Trek books like Prime Directive, Federation, and Spock's World, Audible has something for everyone. Mike, what do you have for everyone?
Well, I've got a book here on Audible which is called The Physics of Star Trek. It was written by Lawrence M. Krauss and narrated by Larry McKeever. It's 6 hours and 31 minutes long. And they say, what actually happens when the words "beam me up, Scotty" are uttered? What warps when something travels at warp speed? Internationally renowned theoretical physicist and educator Lawrence M. Krauss provides matter-of-fact scientific explanations of the physics of Star Trek in this highly creative and informative guide for both the devoted Trekkie and the physics novice. And, you know, this book on Audible, it's normally $45.27.
Wow.
But since you listen to Trek FM, you can get it for free.
That's great. As a Trek FM listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see how great Audible is. So give it a try today. Catch up on all those classic Star Trek books you've yet to read and that latest novel from your favorite author as well. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank Audible for supporting Standard Orbit and Trek FM. And lastly, there's one more way you can help us keep Standard Orbit in orbit, and that's by donating directly to the website. If you go to trek.fm/donate, you'll find 8 original alien illustrations by Toba Ushi, who does most of the artwork you see on our website. They're available as both badges and art prints, and there are different contribution levels for you to choose from. Just let us know which you would like in which format. Again, you'll find them at trek.fm/donate, and your support helps us pay for the cost of production, hosting, and bandwidth that's needed to bring the show to you each week. So remember, everybody, we're going to do a letter-writing campaign to Star Trek licensing.
Yes.
That we need TOS communicator flip phones.
Yeah. This seems like a completely doable goal. This actually seems much more doable than a tricorder in the real world that can diagnose diseases, you know? And
yes,
and it won't cost anyone $10 million.
Well, like Michael Fisher has a Bluetooth communicator.
Uh-huh.
That you can get custom made. They take the toy,
mm-hmm,
and they replace the toy's internals with Bluetooth stuff. And then you can actually like sync it to your phone and use it. That's close.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, come on. And $10 million, like, CBS is going to make $10 million off of this idea. You know how many Trekkies out there have iPhones? Come on.
That's right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Have a good week and keep on trekking. It is the will of Landry.
Mr. Chekov, take us out of orbit. Ahead, warp factor 1.
Hi, sir.